Well, we are at some point here going to get to John chapter 17. We're going to go back and read a few verses that we read a few weeks back. For those of you who haven't been here, shame on you. No. We've been looking at our relationship with the world and looking at different aspects concerning that relationship. Last week, we spent some time in some detail going through the sower and the seed. And where we landed was as that good soil where he receives and he understands. He recognizes it as truth, as opposed to the one who receives and doesn't understand. But he recognizes it as truth. He allows the word to take hold and grab his heart. And that's the heart that recognizes the authority of God's word. When a heart recognizes the authority of God's word, it allows the word to begin to change that person. Because it holds sway, it'll transform you into something new. Satan is not able to snatch it out of your heart. You know, it's like we sang. The darts may come, but he's not going to take the word out of your heart. This good soil, he allows the word to take root in his heart so the pressure and the winds and the waves of life, he doesn't fold. And the cares of the world don't choke it out. Then we looked at how do I tend to this soil. And we considered that a little bit. The first thing we have is we've got God's word. God works through his word. We put it in our head. We put it in our heart. Well, I'll save that when we get to John 17. But the second thing we have is Holy Spirit that we talked about last week. And that Spirit of God, it teaches, it guides, it works, it intercedes. And the Spirit of God works in conjunction with that Word of God. If you remember, sometime back we considered Ephesians 6. And you remember the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word. Right. Well, that word is the word rhema. And it's specific. Isn't that something? And that Spirit of God will work in us in situations. All we need to know is God is faithful. That's what we know. And we know that from his word. And we allow that word to take root in our heart and we grow. And we grow in our confidence, we grow in our trust, we grow in our love, we grow in our understanding. All these things begin to happen. And it actually, we get to the place where things just don't scare us anymore because God's faithful. He's faithful. The third thing we considered is the church, the fellowship with like-minded saints. And that is where so much of the growth can take place in a saint's life is among the saints. You know, and I think one of the things I mention is, man, so often it's just good to get out of our own heads. That's just sometimes the most dangerous place to be, isn't it? I need fellowship. It is. It's a big deal. And then the fourth thing we considered was prayer. How it is such an important and vital component in developing our relationship with God. And God is all about relationship. You know, man tends to look at, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that, I should be this, I should be. God's about relationship. See? And that is one of those hidden things that take place. Remember, we considered, you know, the tree or the plant, how it grows out of that good soil. You don't see what's going on underneath. Well, that this is one of those things. It's you build that relationship with God, which prayer is such an important part of. And that's one of these unseen things that just, it grows you. And you start producing fruit. Because you're growing in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, which is what He wants. See? It's pretty cool. As we grow in these things, we begin to see the bigger picture. And this is important. That all of these things that we do it with a view of the hope. We do it with a view of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and ultimately where this all lands. See? And that begins to grow, you know, in our vision. It begins to grow in our hearts. And it really is true that the things of this world, which we're going to get into here in a few minutes, they grow strangely dim. They're not as big a deal. They're not as appealing. You notice things about the world you didn't notice before. And it's gross. See? So we do it with a view of the hope, the return of our Lord. And then very briefly, we looked at the section in Philippians, shining as lights, holding the word. And we took a few minutes to talk about that, working out your own salvation or working out your own deliverance. And that working out is to bring about to its full perfection. It's the same word in Ephesians where it says, having done all. Same word as working out. You're allowing God to grow you. You're doing these things. You're spending time in the Word. You're holding on to the Word. You're walking. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So shut up, stop complaining, because you trust Him. The Bible says it more nice than that. Right? And we're developing that relationship with Him. It's just so beautiful. Having done all, and then the next word in Ephesians is what?
Stand.
It's not an accident. See? That's right. So, we're going to go to John 17, and I wanted to read this, you know, because we're going to consider some things regarding the world, and we are not to isolate ourselves from the world. Rather, we've been sent into the world. And we are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to demonstrate what sanctification of the truth looks like. We're to be examples of our Lord and of our Father. And the reason we can do this is because we are so awesome. No. That's one of the things, as you grow, you begin to understand. You know, you hear me say often, I'm an idiot. God is the one that's smart. And it's a humorous way to say, I'm an idiot. God is smart. Because I recognize that I can do what I do by way of the Spirit of God, by way of the Word of God, by way of our being placed in the body of Christ and my relationship with Him. Isn't that awesome? And so we do these things by grace, not of ourselves. And boy, we got to get that one. Because we'll fail miserably endeavoring to do this of ourselves. We're to love where the world hates. We're to be kind where the world is cruel. Ah. And we live with purpose. You remember we considered the questions that eat up all the oxygen of philosophy. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Right? All of philosophy is really comes back to those three questions. And we've got the answer right here. Isn't that something? We know where we came from. We know why we're here. And we know where we're going. Okay. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world, hasn't he? So John 17, I wanted to read a part of this prayer. It says in verse 11, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world." I gotta stop here for a minute. And just note again, and we considered this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but, you know, this prayer, what you see Jesus Christ keep doing is, it is as good as done. I have completed the work you've given me to do. Had he?
Not yet.
No, but he had. It was done in terms of what he would accomplish and where he knew. Isn't that something? I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. And not one of them has been lost except the Son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. If you read back in verse 6 of this, you learned that they had been sanctified or cleaned through the word that was spoken and had been taught to them. And they held on to it. They kept it. They guarded it. Now, were these men perfect? No. No. But where did they land? See, and that's what matters. We'll all go through things at times. But what's in our heart, that's where we'll land. Verse 15 then says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And this is speaking of that sanctification or the change that takes place by way of the Word of God. We're sanctified in Christ. We're set apart unto God. We're set apart by His sacrifices. We belong to God. Nothing can change that. But it takes growing to get to where I begin to realize who I am. Doesn't it?
Yep.
Sure. And we'll see that here in a few minutes. It takes growth to begin to identify with Jesus Christ rather than my flesh or my weakness. And that is the sanctification that happens by way of building the Word in your heart. Isn't that cool? I could just say we have everything we need and just close with prayer. In James chapter 1, I'd like for you to turn there. I didn't read verse 18 of that section we were just in, but it says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them. So this is important to realize, because Christianity and the history of Christianity is rife with examples of, you know, the understanding of we're not of this world, and the section we're going to read here in a few minutes And their reaction to it was to pull back from the world. You guys know I finished this book on Luther. But, during that period of time, you were dealing with cloisters of monks and nuns, and they were the whole reason for that was because they were not of the world. And to be friends with the world or to love the world, love not the world, which we're going to see in a few minutes. But the problem is no matter where you go, you take your humanity with you. Yes. Ah! Right?
Right.
Yeah. See? So, you and I have been made something different. And as we grow in that, that's what we bring to the world. See? And that's what we demonstrate. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." This is great advice. "Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It's interesting in Ephesians, it is in immediately in the context of "let not the sun go down upon your wrath," where it says "neither give place." Yeah. The anger of man works not the righteousness of God. "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls," or your life. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word," now remember we read last week, he who has what? Ears to hear. "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." This is a beautiful illustration. When you look in a mirror, what are you looking at?
Yourself.
What?
Yourself.
That's what you're looking at. You're looking at yourself.
No good thing.
Yeah. Isn't that something? He looks at self. He heard the word. Look at who you are in Christ. Look what God has made you. Look what he's given you. Look what you have. Look what you can do. "I am faithful. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I look in the mirror and go, "Jeez. I can't do this. I'm weak. I'm this. I'm that. I'm an idiot. I sin. I do this." And I walk away and I forget. I forget who I am. That's exactly what this is saying. Did you ever hear such a thing? We've all done it. Hey. He looks at self and not what he's been, not what he's been made or has not become. And I thought of this earlier. He's not become who he is. And what I mean by that, and we'll see this in a moment, but when I begin to lay down self, becoming who I am, and what I mean by that, and the picture I have in my mind when I say that, is that it begins to get into my heart. And my heart sees like what God's made me. My heart begins to feel like what God's made me. I'm not debating about it anymore. But it's who I start to become. It's my heart. Isn't that beautiful? One of the most troubling things, you know, just in the physical realm, is when I see a small child feel bad about themselves. Isn't that horrible? You know, maybe they have something wrong physically, or maybe they have, and they feel bad about themselves. They're embarrassed. That's what it's like when we look at self. Because you're going to feel bad about yourself. Nobody likes a picture of themselves, right? In Matthew chapter 16, and I wanted to read this, it says, you don't need to turn there. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Was not the most selfless thing ever done when Jesus Christ obediently died the death of the cross? In Philippians it says, let this mind be in you. Isn't that something? Yeah. That kind of service. Now you and I will never have to go through what our Lord Jesus Christ did. But that laying down of self in service. And then verse 25 of this chapter, it says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. See? 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read from there. You can turn there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is one of those verses that should really arrest your attention. He who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Another way you could understand this is, stop loving the world. Because it's the world that our Lord overcame. It's the world that was judged when he conquered the world. Our Lord overcame the world. Here it's, love not the world. Jesus Christ said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And he was not only praying for those men right there, but all those who should believe on him through their word, right? Jesus Christ states this, as you cannot serve God and mammon. The world wants our love. It wants our time. It wants our affections. It wants our talents. It wants our commitment. It wants our money. And the payoff, or the apparent payoff, is that we might be better off, but we're not better. See? Matthew 16, if we'd have kept reading there, it says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? At best, if we love the world, we will gain a small portion of it. There's only been one who has offered the whole thing. See? And he said no. To our benefit. Jim read this the other week. You don't have to turn there. But in James 4, verse 4, it says, you adulterers. Isn't it great the Bible doesn't end there? You adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Then it says the love of the Father is not in him. Because the world is completely and utterly incompatible with God. That love of the Father is not in him. It is with the understanding that I don't get it. I've not yet understood who my God is. I haven't understood who my Lord is. I haven't understood who I am because of what my Lord did. Because my Father, my God, gave his only begotten Son. See, I don't really understand that. But when I begin to really understand who my God is, what my God is about, how much greater than anything the world could even think. See, I begin to understand that. Isn't that something? And it gives a reason why in verse 16. For all that is in the world. You know what all that is in the world means? It means all that's in the world. No, that's what it means. Really. That's what it means. Oh, no, not everything. Yeah, everything. Now, it's not speaking of, you can say, well, that landscape is beautiful. Sure. Just don't worship the creation more than the Creator. Right? So we keep even those things in order. We keep those things in the right perspective. But this is talking about the ways of the world, the arrangement of the world. You know, the elemental principles that we've been rescued from. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. John 5 states it as, the whole world lies, it reclines in wickedness. Boy, there's a picture. That all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the very things that got us into this mess in the first place. Isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. You know, that lust of the flesh. Well, that fruit looks pretty pleasant for food. I think it's going to satisfy. Lust of the eyes. Oh, man, that looks good. Pride of life. I'm going to be like God. Down we go. See, and that's exactly how it works. It doesn't change. That's that flesh stuff. And as we stay in the Word, as we fellowship with like-minded saints, as we, you know, develop our relationship with the Father, as we learn how God works in us, we walk by that Spirit, we begin to shed that stuff. We'll never be perfect until the return, but that's okay. It's like I said yesterday, God's not looking for perfection. He offered forgiveness, you know, but he will grow us if we will allow him to do that. Verse 17, and it says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And I'm going to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. You can turn there if you like. I promise to read what's there. It says, and this is, I'm reading from the ESV today, by the way. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In the Italian district of New York, they say, they would phrase this as, the world is dead to me. I am dead to the world. Believers are removed from the life of this world into new life with Christ and Holy Spirit. It's a new relationship with the old world, which is fallen and in bondage. Whole new relationship. We're dead to it. We approach the world and the Word of God with Holy Spirit, with the love, support, and help of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We do it prayerfully, watching in prayer. Isn't that beautiful? And all with a view of that hope in mind, which reminds me, I know I'm going a little long, but I got to read this to you, okay? I just started reading this book, and then Diane read this section to me this morning, and I absolutely love it. And I think it'll bless you. Because as we do this, we'll go through some growing pains, and that's okay. That's okay. This is from Romans 8, beginning in verse 19, I think. And this is the Phillips translation. This is in this book here, Corrie ten Boom. But just let me read this to you. Just enjoy it. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future of God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality. Not because it chooses to be blind, but because God, in God's purpose, has been so limited. It has been given hope. And the hope that is in the end, and the whole of created life, will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children. It is plain to anyone with eyes to see that at the present time all life, all created life, groans in a sort of universal travail. And it is plain, too, that we who have a foretaste of the Spirit are in a state of painful tension while we wait for that redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last we have realized our full sonship in Him. Ha ha! Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
It's just, what a God. I want to close here in 2 Peter, and we'll just read this. I love this. 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 3 it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence by which He has granted to us, I love this, His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You know, that whole flesh thing. We've been rescued out of the exercise power of darkness into the glorious liberty. See? Into that kingdom of His dear Son. And we have what we need to grow ourselves and become more and more free from the corruption of the world and become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to help one another to do that. We get to love one another into doing that. Isn't that awesome? See? And that's a little bit more about our relationship with this mess, or with the world. All right? So I'm going to pray.